There is a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. We've read the scripture. But I want to draw your attention just before we pray. Verse 8 in that chapter. Jesus promised David that without fail, you will recover all. Then in verse 18, it says, and David recovered all. And then in verse 19, the last part of that verse says, David recovered all. So help me preach. And look at somebody. And say, I'm coming out with it all. Somebody already received it. When I come out of it, this. I'm coming out with it all. Whether this is good, whether this is bad, whether this is happy, or whether it's sad, I'm coming out with it all. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, grateful, thankful. We honor you, Father, in all of your ways. You're so awesome. You're so perfect. You're so gracious and kind. And we just want to thank you. Thank you for your word that's coming, oh God, and help us to receive the truth of it. And when we finish this word, oh God, let us be different than when we started. We thank you for it. We bless you for it. Thank you for Bishop Shared in the house. Thank you for Pastor Dixon. Thank you for all who are in the house of worship today. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And now, God, just do as thou hast said, and we shall be satisfied. And all of the saints of God who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Now say it one more time. I'm coming out,
with it all.
And can I get you to, when you put that all, give me all caps.
Amen.
Give me all caps. Yeah. Put me some quotation marks around it.
Yeah.
And put an exclamation point at the end. Highlight, underline, italics. I'm coming out with it all. Now, we have been preaching, and I say we because all of these capable preachers in the house have been preaching, and I've been preaching with them. And they preach with me. And so we've been preaching about victory for a few Sundays now. Grateful that the Holy Ghost said, let's continue to talk about victory.
Yeah.
Amen. Coming out with it all. But today, what we want to do is to show that all victories are not created equal. And we need to look at the difference. This is the 21st century. The enemy has upped his game. And God is still the same, which is more than enough.
Yeah.
But we as people of God need to always be thinking about how to make God's word known in the earth.
All right.
So what he wants to do today, we need to discover and embrace the difference between motive and intent. There's a difference. Motive is the reason. Intent is the aim. Motive starts inside, as does intent. But intent ends up out there. Somewhere. If motive is the bow and arrow, intent is the target. So I love examples. So there was a couple of fights in school, Where I work, that's almost a daily occurrence. Now, mind you, there's never more than 60 kids in the whole building. And yet there's a fight almost daily. But one of these fights caught my eye because I had this word in me. And I'm a boxing fan, so I'm looking at this. So let me preface my story with this. This ended up being a title fight. And I promise you, there was an upset. So real fast, you had this big student who is used to winning every fight that he's in. Most students won't even fight him. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's all of that. But there's a new kid in school. He's kind of small, kind of underweight, but almost every day when people teased him, tried to play the dozens with him, and for those of you who are not old enough, ask somebody about that later. Anytime anybody tried to step to him and try him, he would say three little words, "Leave me alone." And those of us who have been around for a while, we've watched enough people to know that when they keep telling you, "Leave me alone," there's a reason. These students tend to forget why my school exists anyway. My school exists because these kids are off the rails. So this little boy, this particular day, the bigger kid was throwing snowballs at him. And he was walking ahead of him, and he walked on into the building. And he kept throwing snowballs. I brought the snowball in the building. These kids, I'm telling you, my school is fun, much fun. So he hit that boy one more time. That boy turned around and squared off. And the bigger boy thought he was playing. And so he ran up on him. And the bigger boy is used to just basically throwing his weight around. So he walks up on this kid, and that boy didn't move. He just did like this. And the kid started egging them on. So they had to do something. So now they're both motivated to fight. Now, it's easy to clean up your motivation, justify your motivation, but it's not easy to justify, clean up, and hide your intent. That's what we're talking about today. Stay with me. I promise this in the Word. And so the bigger boy did what he always does. He ran at him, all his body coming forth, and he swung, and the little boy ducked. I wish you could have been there. And came up and hit him with a straight right. Boom, right in the mouth. And the whole crowd did what you did. Everybody went, ooh. So the big boy, not wanting to look, I'm not going to use the word they use. He came at him again. The little boy ducked, came up, boom. I promise you, he did this about four times before the staff. We have male staff that are specifically there to break up fights. Pulled off the big boy because he was the aggressive one. The little one, he was just doing his thing. Now, look at this. They both were motivated to win the fight. But the big boy's intent was just to win another fight. I'm used to this. The little boy's intent was to win this fight. So intention is the target. And if your motive and your intention don't line up, and you get sloppy with your intention, you'll come out with something, but you won't come out with it all. Another example, real quick. Two people go to college. They go down and enroll. This is a fast one. I don't care if you're going for a BS, an MS, a PhD, an XYZ. It doesn't matter. You sign up. Two people motivated to get started, motivated to go to class, motivated to get that degree. But one person's intent is so that I can work in this field, so I can be a help to people. All of those kinds of intentions. That's my goal. That's my aim. The other one's intent is to be able to say, I got this degree. I need to be able to tell people I got a BS in physics. Then I got an MS in quantum physics. Then I got a PhD in a physics that won't get me a job. But you got the degree, though. So one person comes out with bragging rights. But another person comes out with it all. They learned everything the professors had to offer so that when they got to the job, they could apply what they knew. Intent, goals, aims. What are you after? Motivation can be your reason, but your intent can mess you up. One more example, relationships. You got one sister who's motivated to get married. You got another sister who's motivated to get married. Fantastic. Again, the motive is great. But one sister, her intention is to see, oh, I wonder if we're compatible. I wonder if he has a good sense of humor. I wonder what kind of car he drives. I wonder if he going to buy me steak. Do I have to pay? Are we going Dutch? Other sister's intent, goal, purpose. I wonder, does he live outside the church like he claims he lives inside the church? I'm watching how he talks to his mama and his sisters. I need to see how he lives. If he's Christian through and through. So now when he breaks up with her, the one over here who was looking at stuff and flesh and did we get along, she has invested in emotion and teeing and possibly her body into this. But this one over here, all she saw was fruit or not. So when he walks away, she's broken and hurt, and like Elder Craig said, he took a piece of you that you'll never get back. But the one over here with the godly intention, she walks away and says, I'm looking for the next one. Not bothered, didn't take anything from me. Matter of fact, you sharpened my discernment tools. Thank you. Motive and intent, are we understanding? I tell you what, in the Word of God today, the chapter before this, we're gonna parse the text, as you would say. Let's look at what was going on. David and his warriors. David is not yet a king, but he's got people following him. Now, how many of you know you don't have to be in a leadership position to be a leader? Yeah. Quit thinking you have to have a title to lead people. David has a group of warriors. They go down, join up with the Philistines to fight. They go down to a place called Jezreel. There's a stream down there. Now, they had traveled for 100 miles to get there. They get down there, and the Philistines say, we don't want to fight with the Hebrews. Send them home. So now you got this rejection. And they got their heads down, and now they're going back to Ziklag. And they get back home 100 miles coming and going. Now, you know me and you, we don't want to drive 100 miles. These guys don't have cars. They're either on foot or some kind of animal. That's all they have. So they're tired. They're hungry. They're mad because they couldn't fight. A warrior needs a place to fight. So they got all this angst, and then they're thinking probably when they got about 5 miles outside of their camp, they're probably thinking, well, at least I can talk to my wife when I get home. You know how it is when you get home from work and you just tell folks how your day was and tell them what happened. It makes it a little bit better. Well, at least I can see my kids when I get home. At least they'll have cooked me up something to eat. They get back to Ziklag, and the wife, the kids, and all their stuff is gone. So can you imagine? You're already mad. You are tired from that day's journey, days long coming and going, getting your feelings hurt. Got all this strength for fighting, and all you could use it for was to walk in the dust. So you already, if you get home and there's nobody there, to greet you. So by the time we get to this text, David comes back and the people want to kill him. He said, you took us all the way down there, and not only did you take us down there, we didn't even get to do anything when we got there. That's like going to Six Flags and it's closed. Everybody's mad at you. And so people literally wanted to stone him. So he does what people whose motives and intent are lined up. David didn't do everything right, but this time he got it right all day. And this is how we want to be, if you want to come out with it all. So David says, bring me the ephod. In other words, that's like us saying, bring me the word. I'm going to look this up and see what the word says. So if you want to come out of any situation, even if your motive is good, you better make sure your intent is right. So he goes and gets the word, which was the right thing to do. And in verse 8, he said, God, well, Lord, should we pursue? And the Lord said, go ahead, pursue. And I promise you'll come out with it all. And so David gets 600 men. And he goes down to find, because he doesn't know where they are, to find these folks who have stolen all his people and stuff. Now, this is where people wrongly come up with that phrase, I'm going to go back and take back what the devil stole from me. The motive is good, but the intent, your target is the devil? That's why that doesn't work. So David takes 600 people, but when they get a little ways off, 200 of them said, you know what? We've been walking 200 miles. We don't have any. No, I'm tired. And 200 of the men sat down. Have you ever been in a tough situation and there are people around you who you thought you could depend on? But then somehow they just turn on you and say, no, I can't do it. Because their motives and their intentions don't line up. If you have the right motive but the wrong intention, if you start something for the right reasons but you have the wrong goal, you'll get tired. You'll get tired along the way. You'll lose your fight. So they sit down. So he takes the 400 and keeps going. Now, mind you, he doesn't even know where these people are. But then, and I'm paraphrasing the text, they run up on a young man. And read this when you get home. Read the whole chapter if you can. They run up on a young man that they didn't know. But guess who he was? This young man had been deserted by the Amalekites who had stolen the women, kids, and stuff. The Amalekites had kicked him to the curb because he got sick. So you know, you get somebody who's already mad. He's hungry. They feed him something to eat. They sit him down in the midst of him and say, talk. Who are you? He spills his guts. I can tell you where they are. I can tell you what they did. And read it. He tells all. So the message to you is if your motives and your intentions are great, don't worry about the details, Sister Buffalo. Because God is in the details. Remember that? You've been saying that for years. Don't worry about the details. God has a plant in your company. He has a plant. He has a ram in a bush. He has a fourth man in the fire. The lion of the tribe of Judah is in the den. Forget the details. Just go. Just go. And he'll handle the details. So rather, these men were tired of walking and marching and searching and looking. So God said, they don't have any more strength for that. So let me tell them exactly where to go. And this young man told them exactly what they needed to hear. So by the time we pick up in our scripture, which is in verse 17, the Bible says, let's go back to 15, because I want you to see something here. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to the Amalekites? Is that what it said? Read it. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to the Amalekites? Canst thou bring me down to the enemy? Canst thou take me down to the people who took my wife? No. Because you know why? Because his target wasn't them. This is why we need to know the difference between motive and intent. His target was not the Amalekites. If he had pumped himself up and was angry and had the wrong intentions, he would have lost something. He wouldn't have come out with it all. But because his intentions and his motives were clean and good and right, the Bible says, he said, just show me where they are. It doesn't even matter who they are. Just show me where they are. It doesn't matter, y'all, when you go into the boardroom, when you go into the sick room, when you go into the courtroom, it doesn't matter who's sitting on the bench. Doesn't matter who has on the white coat. It does not matter. Because your intent, your aim has to be clear. And we're going to see what that aim has to be before we're done. So he said, just take me down to the company. And if you read all throughout David's interaction before the fight, he never mentions the enemy. I'm pausing for a purpose. I want you to think about all the time you spend, all the time we spend intending to hit a target that's offside somewhere. The preacher this morning, have you ever seen one of those microscopes that they have in school? Remember they used to tell us to put some pond water on the little Petri slide? And then they would have a little circle with these different strengths of magnifiers on it. So if you magnified that water by 100, you would see some movement, but not a whole lot. Then if you turn that joke all the way around to 400, you go, ah! That's what's in that water? That's the difference between motive and intent. If you zoom in on your goal for doing something, what's your purpose for doing it? Then you'll get to see what's really in you. I remember this morning, the preacher was teaching the Sunday school lesson, and he said, was talking about people who stay in relationships, bad relationships. You stay in them. Now, the motive is good, because as Christians, we don't have any business divorcing. If you have two Christians. Two Christians, two saved people. So the motive is great for staying. But one person's intention is to glorify God. And to pray over that person and to see them healed. The other person's intention is, I don't want to be embarrassed. And so this one over here struggles in it. You stay, but you struggle because your intention is off. Your goal is wrong. I stay for the children. Off. Your goal is wrong. Your aim is wrong. And then we struggle. And we don't have time for struggling. Not in this 21st century. We need to clean all this up. Clean it up. Clean it up. And I'm talking to me too. So the Bible says, in verse 16, look at 16. And when he had brought him down, that's the boy who told everything. They looked up and looked. The enemy was spread abroad all over the place, eating, drinking, dancing. And this was not a Holy Ghost situation. because of all the great loot, spoiled stuff that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, David and them stuff, and out of the land of Judah. So they were happy when they had stripped David and his people of all of their things. And look what happened. You get somebody like my friend at school last week who has nothing to lose and everything to gain. David smote them from one evening to the next 24 hours. David fought them because he was a warrior. And look at this. And there escaped not a man of them except 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Interesting, interesting, interesting. How many men did David have? 400. How many left? 400. Does it make sense that young, strong men with camels would leave a fight? Don't worry about the details, because when God fixes it, it's not going to make sense. It's not going to make any sense at all. We spend too much time trying to evaluate how this is going to work. It's not our business to know. All we need to do is make sure our motive is clean and our intent is clean. Go and do what God said, and He'll handle the details. That must have been a vision of something. I tell you, 400 strong young men who could have probably gave David and them a run for their money, because they were tired. David and his people were wore out. But God said, you know what? This is going to be an easy win. Why? Because I told you it was. Just because I said so. And so God will move things around, change things so that they work in your favor. Doesn't have to make sense. Come on and praise God for the things that just make no sense. But it works out in your favor. They shouldn't have done it that way, but it worked out in my favor. They shouldn't have said that, but it worked out in my favor. You ever call a bill collector? You were intended to give them $150. You end up coming out paying $45. What happened? Doesn't make sense. Oh, my goodness. But your intention was to pay him back. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So anyway, on verse 18, what does it say? And David recovered some of it that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. They put that in there intentionally. God wants you to know I don't leave anything out. When I say you coming out with it all, I mean all. He could have came out with one of his wives. And before any of you try to go and have two and three wives, that's not what we do in the New Testament. Read your Bible. That's what they did back then. Why? Because people died. People would die in war. People would die in famines. So they needed big families. So one woman didn't want to have 25 kids. So he would have a few wives and get his 25 kids. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're talking about God here. He can do what he wants to do in any dispensation he wants to do it. And when he got to the New Testament, he said, enough. Bless the Lord. So when you see these people in this time who are polygamous, that's not God. 19 says, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Now look at this. Extra. And David took all the flocks and all the herds, which they drave before those other cattle. In other words, he took some extra stuff. for good measure. And look at this. And David said, talk about himself in third person. This is David's spoil. I'm taking this extra. But let me show you now in the Word of God. Keep going. What the intent has to be. David took everything that they had taken from him. Then he took some extra. Then in verses 21 and 22 and 23 and a little further down, the soldiers that were with him, they got back to the place where they left the 200 who were too tired to go forward. And the men that were with David said, they don't get anything. They didn't come with us to get it, and they're not getting anything. And David told them, not so, brethren. He said, they sat with the other stuff that we had left. They had a job to do. And so as long as your goal is people, your aim is people, your purpose is people, to bless them, even if they don't bless you, then your motivation and your intention are in line and you can come out with it all. And so look at what David said. Now let's bring this up to the spiritual matters. What kinds of spiritual spoils do we get? We get extra things all the time. We get peace. We get anointing. We get joy. This is over and above natural blessings. We get all these spiritual blessings. So what happens if minister comes in one Sunday and she's got something going on in her life? I sit down with her and I say, here, take some of this anointing. Yeah. I got some extra.
Yeah.
When God brought me out, he brought me out with it all. So here, take some of this. Yeah. Take some of this peace. Yeah. And we need to start doling out what God has given to us. When your intention is to take the spoils and use them on you like those men that went with David, you got a terrible attitude. And look at this. Look at this. Read your Bible. The Bible says David didn't give those men that went with him anything extra. The Bible says he took the extra and gave it to people that wasn't even there. So if you want to come out with a piece of blessing, you go ahead. But when I come out, I'm coming out with it all. Because the Bible says it's better to be the lender than the beggar. I'd rather be able to give out than somebody to look at me and say, she got a bad attitude, I'm not giving her anything. You'll come out with something, but you won't come out with it all. Maybe it's all right with you to just get what you invested in. Multiply. Yes. Over and above. Yes. Abundant. Yes. When your motive and your intention line up, that's what you get. Yes. You go ahead and get that college degree, but don't go in there with the wrong intention. But it's 'cause you're going to come out with a college degree and a whole bunch of debt and no influence. Not blessing anybody. You go ahead and get in that relationship number 327. Keep giving your flesh out to people, your emotions out to people, your time out to people, texting at 12 o'clock at night. You know you got to go to work at 3. You go ahead. Go ahead and do that. But me, I'm coming out with it all. I'm not talking to nobody at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 12 o'clock at night. I'm asleep because I got to get up and go to work. I'm coming out with it all. Coming out with peace, coming out with good rest. Listen, I have issues. I have health issues, but would you know it? When you see me sit down and I don't stand up the whole service, my leg might be bothering me, but don't let a praise kick up. Why? Because I come out with it all. I'm coming out with a dance. My leg hurts right now, but it doesn't matter because I got extra anointing. I got extra power. I got extra peace and love and joy. You don't know nothing about this. You don't know nothing about this. Because some people, all you have is the bare minimum. Because you got good motives, but you got the wrong intentions. You got something, but you don't have it all. There was another David. They call him the son of David. He was motivated to come out of heaven. Motivated to come. If he didn't have a great motive, he would have never come down here. He was motivated. Came out of heaven. Knowing what he was getting into. But he was motivated by God. He said, make me a body. Give me one of them temporal vessels. Let me see what it's like to walk around in that dust. I'm motivated. I want to see this up close. Motivated to see what they go through day to day. Motivated. He said, I'm motivated to be a good son to my mother and my father. I'm going to learn a trade, and I'm motivated to do that. Amen. And he walked on the earth, and when it was time for ministry, he was motivated. He said, okay, it's time. They called me out early, but I'll go ahead and go. He went on, and everywhere he went, he was motivated to bless people, motivated to help people, had good intentions. Hallelujah. But when it was time to go to Calvary, watch this, because this is what can happen to us. We start out with good motives. We start out with great intentions. But the intent, because the intent gets away from you, think about it. The motive always stays with you. The intention eventually goes out there, and it can go off. So you have to always be watching, what's my goal here? When I say that, what am I really trying to get at? This is hard work. So at one point when Jesus got to the Garden of Gethsemane, his motives and his intentions split. Look at it. Because when he went off to pray, his motivation was still there. I want to do this, God. You know I do. I want to drink from this cup. I want to. However, now my goal is to skip this pain. My aim is to get around Calvary. Lord have mercy. If you can fix this, if you could take this cup from me, change the target so that I don't have to go through this. It would be great. So his motivation split off from his intent. His intent now was out there like an arrow in the wind. But by the time he finished praying, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, which is off course. Not my will, which is off target. Not my will, which is taking my strength. Not my will, which is going to get me nothing. Look at it. But thy will be done. His motives and his intent for one last run lined up. His motivation was to get us saved. But his intent was to do the will of the Father. Look at the difference. And so everything you do, your motivation is one thing, but your intent is a God thing. Your target, your purpose, your aim always has to be God's will. And you got to make sure it's so. Why? Because from that moment on, if his intention had been off, he would have not had the strength. He needed God's 100% help to get to Calvary. So when he went into the trials, and there was a bunch of them, he knew, I'm coming out, With it all. I'm coming out with a conviction. I'm coming out with sin on me. When I come out of this trial, I'm coming out with it all. Good or bad, happy or sad, I'm coming out. Take this cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What's in the cup? Blessing and suffering. He said, I'm coming out with it all. When they get through whipping me and beating me, hallelujah, and my blood is streaming from every place on my body, and they put this crown of thorns on my head, I'm still coming out with it all. I'm coming out with good motives. I'm coming out with the right intention. So that means that I'm coming out with it all. When they nail me to this cross, when they hoist me up, when I get to saving people left and right, when I get to providing for people, when I get on this cross, I'm coming out of this situation with it all. Coming out with it all. Then he was so bad and so tough that he went on and died. Too many people are scared of death. Death is just a doorway. My kids already know, don't hook me up to nothing. If it's my time to go, I want to go. Because it's just a doorway from death to life. In the name of Jesus. But Jesus said the only way that I can make sure that I close down this thing called death, I'm going to have to go into hell. The Bible said he died. They put him in the grave and he went down into hell. He says, I'm going in there. But when I come out, I'm coming out with it all. The keys to death, the keys to hell, and the keys to the grave. Matter of fact, there's going to be an earthquake, and all them people that was being held are going to get up, because when I come out, I'm coming out with extra. I'm coming out with more than I went in for. I went in for one thing, but I'm coming out with many things. I'm coming out with it all. Eyes have not seen. Ears haven't heard the things which God has prepared. I'm coming out with it all. Stuff I didn't even calculate. Stuff I didn't even know about. I thought I was coming out with a little bit, but I'm coming out with a lot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he came out with it all. And he wasn't finished. Because the Bible said, he walked out on the earth, showed himself to many people. And the Bible says when he was through, he knew he was going home. He went on home, sat down. But he's not finished. He said, I'm coming out again. But while I'm sitting here, I'll tell you what, I'm on abundantly over and above what they expect of me. I'm going to give them. I'm going to give them more than they ask for, more than they think about. Anybody receive that? I'm coming out with it all. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it be like. I'm coming out with it all. And when Jesus comes out of heaven this time, he says, I'm coming out with a sword called the Word of God. I'm coming out with my saints, all of the saved folks. I'm coming out to chain Satan up one final time, because you know I got the keys. I'm going to lock him up. When I come out, the Bible says there's going to be a wedding feast. We have no idea what all looks like until we see that great day. Jesus is coming again to put this thing down once and for all. And when he comes out, he's coming out with it all. Going to pour out God's wrath on this earth. So, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of getting a piece of a victory. I'm tired of getting something out of it. I'm tired of having good motives but bad intentions. Tired of starting out right, but once the intentions get out there and the situation looks a certain way or sounds a certain way, somehow that arrow goes off some other way. The only way to get God's best, and most importantly, the only way to glorify God with your life, so that people want to be saved, people want to be healed, people want to be delivered because of your walk. The only way to do that is to make sure that that motive always lines up with that intention. Think about Jesus in the garden. What did he do to get that intention back in line with his motive? Talk to God. He talked to God. He said, look, this cup is bitter. What do we say? This relationship is bitter. Don't taste good. This supervisor, bitter. But rather than letting your intentions be bad, your goal go wrong, talk to God about it. Now, mind you, this is a lifelong effort. However, because Jesus did it in Gethsemane, and because he came out of there victoriously, it's not as much work as you think. I'm going to say this and then we closed. I have a vacation week coming up. And my whole motivation for not going to work was me time. I'm going to enjoy myself. I had tried planning some stuff. This is what I'm going to do. So that my intention, my goal, my aim was me. I'm just telling the truth. But then the word came. And so now my intention that week, he put it in my heart, was to be a blessing to Patrice and my grands. So I'm planning some day trips and doing some overnight stuff with them. And it already, I'm overwhelmed with joy. I didn't expect joy that week. I just expected rest. And he said, now you get joy. You get to show some love. Extra. These spoils are Mary's. These spoils, extra, extra. Let your target, your aim, your goal, your purpose always be somebody else. And it'll, I tell you, and now I'm looking, because God casts a wide net. I'm talking about going places with them, watching me get somewhere and be able to witness to somebody. Extra. Bonus. And watch, when I go back to work that next week, I'll be more rested. Watch. Than if I had kicked my feet up. No, I had a whole plan. Y'all don't understand. I was going away overnight by myself. Set up in a hotel somewhere, eating popcorn, whatever. And God said, really? For real? And now I'm so happy. And so today, if I may, amen. I'm good? You gone? All right. If I'm good, I want to give us all an opportunity. Stand up on your feet. If there's anything in your life where your motivation and your intent may be off, wrong motivation and intent. Remember, the motive is why you start in the first place. The intent is what's your end game? What are you looking to do? Maybe they're both off. But for sure, I think many Christians, our motives are good. Nothing wrong with wanting to get some rest. See how we justify it? Nothing wrong with that. But what's the intent here? What's the goal here? Should always be to glorify God and bless people. So if your intentions have been off, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in work, your spiritual life, wherever your intentions have been off, all Jesus did was pray and ask God, and they lined right back up. Amen. And because the word of God is rhema, it works right now. If we pray together and believe God, that thing will be fixed. Lined right up where it's supposed to be. And he will give you what he'll show you, like he showed me about my vacation week. He'll show you what to do. Amen? So if that's you, come down and make it quick. You already know. So come on. Motives and intentions need to be lined up. Motives and intentions, like David. David, his motive and his intention were lined up. Jesus, motive and intention lined up. David and the son of David came out with it all and some. We don't take back what the devil stole, because then the intention is the devil. I don't want to aim at him. He's been doing what he's doing longer than I am. See, people take the devil for a joke.